Thus, the great sages, Sanaka, Sanatana, Sanandana, and Sanatkumara, upon reaching the above-mentioned Vaikuntha in the spiritual world, by dint of their mystic yoga performance, perceived unprecedented happiness. They found that the spiritual sky was illuminated by highly decorated airplanes, piloted by the best devotees of Vaikuntha, and was predominated by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus the great sages, Sanaka, Sanatana, Sanandana, and Sanatkumara, upon reaching the above-mentioned Vaikuntha in the spiritual world, by dint of their mystic yoga performance, perceived unprecedented happiness. They found that the spiritual sky was illuminated by highly decorated airplanes, piloted by the best devotees of Vaikuntha, and was predominated by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is one without a second. He is above everyone. No one is equal to him, nor is anyone greater than him. Therefore, he is described here as Vishvaguru. He is the prime living entity of the entire material and spiritual creation, and is Bhuvanaika Vandyam, the only worshipable personality in the three worlds. The airplanes in the spiritual sky are self-illuminated and are piloted by great devotees of the Lord. In other words, in the Vaikuntha planets, there is no scarcity of the things which are available in the material world. They are available, but they are more valuable because they are spiritual and therefore eternal and blissful. The sages felt an unprecedented happiness because Vaikuntha was not predominated by an ordinary man. The Vaikuntha planets are predominated by expansions of Krishna, who are differently named as Madhusudana, Madhava, Narayana, Pradyumna, etc. These transcendental planets are worshipable because the personality of Godhead personally rules them. It is said here that the sages reached the transcendental spiritual sky by dint of their mystic power. That is the perfection of the yoga system. The breathing exercises and disciplines to keep health in proper order are not the ultimate goals of yoga perfection. The yoga system, as generally understood, is Ashtanga Yoga, or Siddhi, eightfold perfection in yoga. By dint of perfection in yoga, one can become lighter than the lightest and heavier than the heaviest. One can go wherever he likes and can achieve opulences as he likes. There are eight such perfections. The rishis, the four kumaras, reached Vaikuntha by becoming lighter than the lightest and thus passing over the space of the material world. Modern mechanical space vehicles are unsuccessful because they cannot go to the highest region of this material creation, and they certainly cannot enter the spiritual sky. But by perfection of the yoga system, one can not only travel through material space, but one can surpass material space and enter the spiritual sky. We learn this fact also from an incident concerning Durvasa Muni and Maharaja Ambarisha. It is understood that in 1 year, Durvasa Muni traveled everywhere and went into the spiritual sky to meet the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana. By present standards, scientists calculate that if one could travel at the speed of light, it would take 40,000 years to reach the highest planet of this material world. but the yoga system can carry one without limitation or difficulty. The word yoga maya is used in this verse. Yoga maya balena vikuntam. The transcendental happiness exhibited in the spiritual world and all other spiritual manifestations there are made possible by the influence of yoga maya, the internal potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Om Gyan Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunatanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha He Krishna Kuruna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama Rama Rama, Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama Rama Rama, Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama Rama Rama, Hare Hare Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desha Tarine Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna to the beautiful devotee beside you. Hare Krishna. Please turn to the devotee beside you and say Hare Krishna. I'm so happy and honored to be here at Bhaktivedanta Manor in the UK. Just grateful to be here. It's my first time to Bhaktivedanta Manor. And it's a special place. My bhakti journey, in a sense, the first seeds were planted, connected to the manor. I'm a yoga teacher. I was doing yoga in a park in Calgary, in Western Canada, and a devotee came up and gave me a copy of Chant and Be Happy, And on the cover, the old versions had John Lennon and George Harrison. I think that's what attracted me at the time. And now to be here, you know, at this special place that George donated to Prabhupada is very special. I also have a confession to make. This is my very first Bhagavatam class ever. Yeah. When I was first asked to share a class, I panicked internally, and I politely declined. I said, I'm a new devotee. I've never given class before, and I declined. But then I thought about it for a day, and I thought, I mean, at some point, we all have to give our first Bhagavatam class. And how special would that be to do it here at Bhaktivedanta Manor? So truly, truly grateful to be here at a place that's been so central for Prabhupada's preaching. And, you know, as I was obviously being my first one, I've been kind of asking around, seeking guidance on how to prepare for Bhagavatam class. I was in Radadesh, Belgium this past weekend, and I was sharing with some of the devotees there that I was going to give my first class. And they gave some nice tips and some nice guidance. And they said, oh, like, by the way, where are you giving your first Bhagavatam class? I said, Bhaktivedanta Manor. And they said, oh. And I said, what is that reaction? I'm getting a little worried. And they said, the standard is very high there. Like some of the greatest devotees and sannyasis and maharajas on their way from India to the West stop here. So just to add to the pressure. I mean, just the last 2 days I've been here, and Dayananda Swami, you know, led the last two classes, and now, you know, this yoga teacher from Canada, so please pray for me. But I noticed as I was getting, you know, nervous and worried what the devotees might think, I recognized, you know, thinking things like, am I good enough, and all these kind of silly thoughts, I realized when I have that kind of mindset, who am I putting at the center? Myself. And I recognize I do that a lot. I'm a little bit self-centered. I'm trying. And the whole purpose of Krishna consciousness, of course, is to put divinity, to put Krishna at the center. And so it was just a great reminder of, you know, that's why we're here. And I see that. I mean, this morning in program, in Guru Puja, the way you dance, the way that you have fun, the way that you really put Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda in the center is very special. It's a great example. You know, the other thing, you know, being that it's my first Bhagavatam class, and I've known for a couple of weeks, so I've had a little bit of time to prepare, and I noticed the value actually on spending so much time on one verse. Like, I love to read. I'm at a stage of life, I don't have a lot of responsibilities. I'm not in a relationship. I don't have children. So I spend hours every day reading, which is great. You know, right now reading Chaitanya Charitamrita. But I'm reading like a chapter a day, which is good for the first time, right? To kind of get the essence of the book. But I realize I'm probably missing so much because I'm going through it at that pace. Versus now to be given, you know, this particular verse and to spend a couple of weeks with just this verse. And every time I read it, something new stood out from the purport, different ideas. And, you know, I could read the verse before, the verse after, then the whole chapter, and then come back to this verse. And I don't normally do that. So thank you, Bhaktivedanta Manor, for the opportunity to spend some time with one particular verse. And just want to quickly share a few acknowledgments. You know, As I said, I was in Radadesh, but I reached out to like many devotees that I know, panicking, seeking guidance. And so Radhesham Prabhu, Mohan Vilas Prabhu, Hemarupa Chaitanya Prabhu, Vanamali Pandit Prabhu, Raghava Kripa Prabhu, and my main Shiksha Guru, Danya Rico. So grateful for them to just sharing their wisdom. So anything accurate or smart that I say definitely came from them, and any mistakes and offenses, that's on me. And that's not just false humility, that's, I think, just the truth. I'm kind of new at this, but let's dive in. So we're reading today from Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, chapter 15, entitled Description of the King of God, text 26. And so to give some context, you know, I see, actually what I love is these familiar faces. Just being in class with you the last couple of days, I think virtually all of you were in class. So it's so nice, you've got this consistent reading of the text. So what's happening here, Lord Brahma is describing the spiritual world of Vaikuntha. And the four Kumaras have just arrived. And this verse captures the extraordinary, unprecedented happiness that they experience in the Lord's presence. And so really the key words as I spent time with this verse were param mudam apurvam. Let's say that. Param mudam apurvam. Param mudam apurvam. Param mudam apurvam. The highest unprecedented happiness. That sounds pretty awesome. I'd love that. You know, it's very fitting for me. Some of the devotees that I mentioned there, they said, this is a perfect verse for you. So when I was born, I was a really happy baby, really happy kid. My parents nicknamed me Happy Jack. So that's my nickname, Happy Jack. That's my name. Now it's Rasananda Das. But I felt like it was very fitting. But at the same time, this is not talking about material happiness in this verse. This verse, it does something very important. It really speaks to a whole different category of happiness. And again, in preparing, and I think it was Raghava Kripa who directed me to this, but Romapada Swami spoke on this verse a couple of times in Los Angeles 2002 and Baltimore 2012, and Maharaj emphasized that the Bhagavatam is not just offering... Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda Ki. Yeah, so Romapada Maharaj was emphasizing that the Bhagavatam is not just offering a little bit better arrangement than our material life, but apurvam is like never before existed. There's a whole different level. So it's not a rearrangement of the same ingredients of, you know, sense enjoyment and prestige and control, these things that we're working with. It's a different substance altogether. And so why is it unprecedented? Srila Prabhupada shares that reason. He says, because Vaikuntha is not predominated by an ordinary person. The center is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And so that single shift that comes back to me, when I was nervous thinking about leading this class, I was putting myself at the center. What are they going to think of me? Am I good enough? All these human thoughts. But this shift of putting Krishna in the center, it changes everything. You know, here we do that with Sri Sri Gokulananda. And this verse describes the residents of Vaikuntha, who despite they have airplanes, they have opulences, they have beauty, they have everything that we think we would want, but they're only interested in chanting the glories of Radha Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. You know, in our modern world today, there's so many distractions. Does anybody else get distracted easily by what's going on? It's crazy. You know, we've got high-speed internet, we've got global travel, endless entertainment, and our minds are so restless from this. And this verse shows us a world where everyone has airplanes, spiritual airplanes. They have opulence, they have beauty, they have everything, and yet they're unfazed. And their focus is laser sharp on the Lord's qualities. And so really a key message here is that happiness is not found on the stuff that we have. right? But it's really in what we're absorbed in. Again, I feel that. I feel that here. The devotion this morning during morning program is just, there's such an absorption. And again, I mentioned my nickname is Happy Jack. We have a yoga school, Happy Jack Yoga. And for many, many years, we lead yoga teacher training. And before I found the Maha Mantra, every time we would get together in class, we would sit in a circle and we would chant this mantra, Loka Samasta Sukhino Bhavantu. Loka Samasta Sukhino Bhavantu. Loka Samasta Sukhino Bhavantu. May all living beings everywhere be happy. Hare Krishna. And recently, Radhana Swami shared in a newsletter, he shared, we understand that material happiness, the pleasures of the body and the mind, are temporary, with little substance. The happiness that we're looking for is the happiness of the true self. Ananda Mayo Bhyasat, from Vedanta Sutra 1.1.12. The soul is by nature full of spiritual joy. That's a beautiful thought. Wow, or not a thought, that's a beautiful reality. This is our new standard for happiness. This is what we get to aspire for. And another thing that really stood out to me in the purport was, it was two words, no scarcity. I know if I'm honest, I've lived a lot of my life, from a place of lack or scarcity. And Srila Prabhupada, in the purport, he says, in the Vaikuntha planets, there is no scarcity of the things which are available here in the material world. They're available, but they are more valuable because they're spiritual and therefore eternal and blissful. So this idea, everything exists in Vaikuntha. The beauty, the airplanes, the opulence, but there's no distraction. It's like, yeah. Here we have less. We're greedy. We want more. At least I do. I mean, that's the human condition. There they have access to everything. And they only want Krishna. Such a standard, such an example that we can look to. And again, this idea of happiness is not based on what we have, but rather what we're absorbed in. And another thing that stood out, being a yoga teacher, and this one got me, and I know many of our students are going to be watching this recording, so they might be live with us or they're watching the recording. This is for you. This is for us. Yeah, wave. I love it. It says, yoga perfection is not health. It's transcendence. Prabhupada says, the breathing exercise and disciplines to keep health in proper order are not the ultimate goals of yoga perfection. The yoga system, as generally understood, is Ashtanga yoga, or Siddhi, the eightfold perfection in yoga. So that's yama, niyama, asana, pranayama, pratyahara, dharana, dhyana, samadhi. And by perfection of the yoga system, one can not only travel through material space, but can surpass material space and enter the spiritual sky. The yoga system can carry one without limitation or difficulty. And so Prabhupada's discussion of Ashtanga yoga is very direct. Breathing and health are not the final goal. That got me. And so, but honestly, even if yoga can do amazing things, which I believe it can, bhakti yoga is the highest. And that's why we're so fortunate. We're so, so fortunate to be here at Bhaktivedanta Manor, to have found this practice, this tradition. We've heard Prabhupada repeatedly say, or at least I've heard, a devotee does not care for mystic powers, which may come from the yogic practice. Bhakti, this practice of Krishna consciousness, automatically includes all perfection, including the mystic abilities if we need, but we don't depend on them. And just, you know, honestly for myself, you know, being a yoga teacher, having our yoga school, Happy Jack Yoga, you know, we teach asana, we teach pranayama. Now we share bhakti as well. Thankfully, I've found bhakti. But a foundation is the physical practice and the mental stilling of the mind. And now realizing what the true purpose of yoga is. But honestly, if I walked into my first yoga class and the teacher was dressed in dhoti kurta and tilak, and you know, I used to also have a shaved head and a shika, if that's what the yoga teacher looked like and it was just chanting mantras, 15 years ago, I wouldn't have been ready. You know, some of you are. Kudos to you to walk right into this. That's like, I think you've definitely had some past life karma. But for me, you know, kind of first finding for the health benefits and noticing the stilling of the mind and, you know, eventually being ready for bhakti. You know, for me, we learn of the four regulative principles. Do you all know the four regulative principles? Ah, so some don't. Are you new here? Yes. Amazing. What's your name? Aradas. Aradas. Where are you from?
I'm Polish.
Polish. So happy to have you here. You know, I honestly, talking about like being nervous and thinking, I've seen you the last couple of days and you got these amazing dreadlocks and I'm like a bit intimidated, like he's definitely a cool guy. What's he going to think about me? All, you know, am I good enough? Now I can tell you're just such a nice person. And so that you haven't heard of the four regulative principles. So first, no meat eating, no illicit sex, no gambling, and no intoxicants. And I mean, if I'm honest, I mean, I spent 15 years of my life significantly breaking all of those four regulative principles, trying to find happiness. And you know, it wasn't there. But now we're aware of this highest, unprecedented happiness that we can find in bhakti yoga. And so, you know, eventually got sober, eventually became a yogi, became vegan, you know, feeling healthier. And then in 2010, as I mentioned, a devotee kindly gave me Chant and Be Happy, attracted by the Beatles, and the Bhagavad Gita as it is. But I wasn't ready then. So I say 2010, but I wasn't ready. Really, the books went on the shelf. But there was something about yoga. So in 2012, you know, I quit my corporate career as working as an engineer for John Deere. Took a one-way flight to India, you know, the birthplace of yoga, and just, you know, spent a year or so really kind of just immersed in the practice. But it wasn't until the pandemic in 2020 that I felt like I was really ready for bhakti yoga. You know, things slowed down. I had a lot of time to read, to reflect, to think about what am I doing with this life? What is the purpose of life? Is there a higher power? Asking these questions, and then we come to bhakti. It's like, wow, here's all the answers. This book was on the shelf for 10 years, and now, so I feel like when we're ready. And that's why when I look around, my friend here with the mustache, yeah, you're a young man. I see you out running in the morning. I like to run as well. What's your name?
Ekabalesh. Yes.
Amazing. Where are you from?
Brazil.
Yes. Amazing. Well, you know, it's like just seeing these young seekers like yourselves to come and to take to this is so inspiring. And of course, that's what happened when Prabhupada was here. Right? I'm 45 now. I would have been like way too old almost, right? We're older than many of the devotees who started at such a young age. But anyways, in the pandemic, decided, okay, bhakti yoga, this is my path. And of course, many things have happened the last 5 years. But really spending time at Govardhan Eco Village in Maharashtra just like transformed my heart in such a way. And, you know, and so actually what's brought me here to this part of the world, we do yoga retreats. And so we used to go to places like Mexico and Costa Rica and Peru, not Brazil, but Peru, you know, these beautiful destinations, which were great to focus on our health. but they weren't so deep spiritually, at least the work that we were doing. So now, in that part of the world, we bring students to New Vrindavan, and then we can really immerse into bhakti yoga. And then in the past, we used to bring students to Bali, which is amazing, and Rishikesh, which is special also. But now we bring our students to Govardhan Eco Village, because then we can really immerse into this culture and this experience. And then here in this part of the world, we used to bring our students to, you know, Finland or Mallorca, Spain. But now we want to find an intentional devotional community in Europe. So that's why I was at Radhadesh, Belgium. So next year, we'll bring our students to Radhadesh. And so just kind of slowly finding a way to bring bhakti in, to bring the two worlds together. And actually what's brought me here to the UK, to Bhaktivedanta Manor, we've been doing this Bhakti Yoga Conference for the past couple of years. And we opened it at the Harvard Divinity School last month. And we got the closing session in a couple of days this weekend at the Oxford Center for Hindu Studies. The opening at Harvard was with Keshava Swami. Does anybody here know Keshava Swami? Of course, right? He's like a product of this community. He's like younger than me and so high spiritually. It's amazing. And then we'll do the closing with Radhana Swami in a couple of days at the Oxford Center. And we've been focusing on sacred community, you know, really walking this path of love together. And so over the past month, we've had over 40 beautiful souls, you know, monks and spiritual leaders, musicians, people from all different walks of life, kind of sharing how bhakti has touched their heart. And, you know, in bhakti, we often hear about the importance of association. And that's what, truly, as I look around here and I see each of you, it's such a gift to have, you know, these monks, these brahmacharis who've been spending their life dedicated, these people who are just so committed to the practice. And being in the presence of people who are living the teachings somehow just has a way of transforming the heart. So I'm encouraged, I'm inspired for all of you. This is our big opportunity. You know, Dayananda Swami, he spoke a couple of days ago on verse 24. And in this verse, Lord Brahma said, "My dear demigods, the human form of life is of such importance that we also desire to have such life, for in the human form, one can attain the perfect religious truth and knowledge. If one in this human form of life does not understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his abode, it is to be understood that he is very much affected by the influence of external nature." So this is our opportunity. We've got a human form, a human body. We may have come to the practice. I know some of our community watching this through yoga, but this is our chance. You know, what's that Eminem song? You got one shot. Maybe that's not the right reference to have at a Bhagavatam class, but this is it. Let's step up. So that's what I've prepared. I guess we've got about 15 minutes for reflections, questions, not too hard of questions, but really whatever is on your heart. What is on your heart? What brought you here? I almost would love to hear from, can we start with you? Would you share what brought you here? If we could grab a mic. I just think it's so inspiring to see beautiful soul stepping into this. Yeah, I'm nervous too. We're nervous together. I get it. But we don't have a mic? Oh, something happened. Yes. 9 years ago. Yes. Wow.
And
Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing. You know, it's like Krishna divinely arranges that opportunity. For me, what's so inspiring is that you called your mom and she said, go for it. Yeah, do the course at Bhaktivedanta Manor. Honestly, I love my parents. I have a great relationship with them. And if they knew exactly what I'm up to, they would think I'm a bit crazy. I can't honestly share. We just come from a different culture. And so for me, it's more important to maintain like a really loving connection with them than to be able to share all of my beliefs and practices. But what a gift that your mom encouraged you in that way. And so how long are you here for?
Here for a week.
A week immersion. Wow, I'm so blessed to be here at the same week as you. And what was your name again? It's hard to hear.
Ernest.
Yeah. Hare Krishna. Welcome. Yeah. Any other thoughts, questions? Yes, Prabhu. Do we have a mic? It would be really helpful. Okay. That's such a paradigm shift. So this Mataji shared this with you, that it's Krishna who's providing this opportunity. Can you live it? Like, what you're saying is totally accurate. Are you able to just embrace that every time that you're asked to step up? Or do you ever still get some nervousness? Well, we pray for you. We pray that it will happen in divine timing. And what was your name, Prabhu?
Prayojana Das.
I'll tell you, when I saw you here, I felt, again, like just in this company, I can tell there's some really serious devotees, and I can tell yourself you've been practicing this for some time, but I feel your gentle heart and your willingness or your desire to soften my nerves, and it's just a testament to the beautiful souls here. Thank you for sharing. Yeah, we pray that the new hip, Krishna will arrange the new hip very soon. You are hip. You are very hip. You're so hip. Hare Krishna. Prabhu, and then Prabhu, yeah. Gora Maheshwari? Goram. Yep. Gaurav Maheshwari, yeah.
So I turned 50 last year.
Congratulations, 50. Yeah, give him a hand. Woo!
Yeah.
That's such a gift. So you're in the same program this 1 week. Many of you. Okay. 12. What a gift. I love it. And from different walks of life. Born in Rishikesh. I think that I catch yesterday you're from the south of India. Jagannath. Wow. You know, so just this beautiful. You as well, Prabhu, for the program. Amazing. I'm so honored to be here and happy 50th. And what a special to be born in Rishikesh and your partner born in Vrindavan. Wow. Very blessed. Thank you for sharing.
I can feel the connection now.
Yeah. Wow. Hare Krishna. Yeah. Yeah.
So, I don't know, but you seem like a person who speaks to new people a lot, to yogis, and you're presenting the Srimad Bhagavatam or teaching of Bhagavad Gita. And sometimes you come to such point where you maybe need to explain, let's say, this verse, that there are planes, spiritual world, and everybody having one.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So for those who didn't hear, the question was, you know, if working with newer students like yogis and then they read about spiritual airplanes, vimanas, and how do we explain that? Honestly, for myself, you know, we don't yet go too deep into Bhagavatam. That's why this is new territory for me. Like doing a Bhagavatam, this is so new. And I've been practicing for like 3 weeks, so hopefully it was okay. But what we do, we're really more with the Bhagavad Gita, and you know, so we haven't talked about the Vimanas. And for those who are watching the recording, I guess we are now going to have to talk about the Vimanas, the airplanes, because they came up. But I guess, yeah, to answer your question, we focus on kind of more like the bigger questions of life. Who am I? What is the purpose of life? What happens after we die? Why do bad things happen to good people? I think maybe being a newer devotee myself, and that's just kind of where I'm at. So that's where we tend to spend our conversation. But it's an excellent question. I mean, because things will get brought up. I mean, of course, I've read a lot of Bhagavatam, and there's a lot of things that are said that are even hard for me to grasp and to... Yeah, so that's a great question, and I think we should probably bring it to some seniors, how they might handle that. But thank you for the question. Hare Krishna. Yeah. Any other questions, reflections? Yeah, that's such a great point, you know, and maybe that's why 2010, I didn't have any sattva. I've just recently like sober and vegetarian, but I hadn't cultivated that yet, so I wasn't ready for bhakti. But then after some years of yoga, vegetarianism, being ready for it, that makes sense. Thank you for sharing. What was your name?
Gita.
Hare Krishna. Yeah. Are you guys part of any program, or do you... No? Part of the community?
Yes.
Oh, you're so blessed. Thank you for inviting us here.
Thank you so much for coming and speaking in such a beautiful way. And
Thank you for your kind words. I guess that's what we do when we don't have much smart things to say. We try to connect with others. But thank you for your kind words and for your high vibe energy. And I see you guys in the morning program just like dancing and the biggest smiles and smelling the flowers, and it's really special. What was your name? Amrita Vilasi Dasi. And your name? Kunti Devi. Beautiful. Well, thank you all so much for being here for my very first Srimad Bhagavatam class. I'm honored and so grateful. And really wishing you an amazing rest of the day. Invite you to turn to a devotee beside you and tell them Hare Krishna. Devotee on the other side, Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki. Yeah.